Born, I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about taxes tonight and how to keep more of your hard-earned money in your pocket and away from Uncle Sam. My guests are Stephanie Baker, Director of Baker's Tax Accounting Service, and Salome Tinker, CPA with TSC Enterprise. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Lori, calling from Baltimore. Thanks for calling, Lori. What's on your mind?
Know how much of my income would I have to put into a 401k plan in order to retire in 10 years? The percentage of my income.
Well, it would depend first on your age. You know, that matters. And then how much you make. I mean, that's kind of a question that has a lot of tentacles. I mean, if you're making $250,000, that's one calculation. But if you're making $30,000, that's a different one. It may not even be possible. So I would say max out your 401k. I mean, at all costs. I mean, especially if your employer matches it, you want to take it all the way up to the max. And then you also need to just, you know, talk to your financial planner to understand exactly your needs so they can specifically tailor a program to help you achieve your objective.
You know, one of the things, Lori, that a lot of our financial experts on this program share with our listeners is you need to figure out how you want to live.
Right.
When you retire.
When you retire. Certainly, as Salome said, yes, your income has a lot to do with that. If you want to try to maintain that lifestyle, certainly, you know, we've had some financial experts on this program who say, yes, well, some people want to retire at 40 and they may have a high-ranking government federal government job, and they may be pulling down $80,000 or $90,000 a year. Okay, and in order to maintain that kind of lifestyle, you got to put a lot of money away. Particularly if you have, you know, a long life expectancy, you want to retire early. You retire at 40, you're going to live another
40
years, you know, something certainly that you should take into consideration when you sit down and talk to your financial advisor, because you said 10 years, you sound young to me. How old are you?
50.
You're 50. So,
yeah.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a teacher.
You're a teacher. Okay. Now,
yeah.
Is that public school? Is that college, college professor, you know, all of those things come into play. So certainly something to keep in mind. But thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Melissa, calling from Fredericksburg, Maryland. What's on your mind?
Hi. Yes, I actually had two questions. My first question was, if you were to be involved in an auto accident, I know you guys are saying that, like, if you had a workman's comp situation, that yes, it could be taxable. But if you had a settlement or something from a car accident, is that taxable?
Most settlements from lawsuits or car accidents or things of that sort are not taxable. Most of them are not. So it depends. We would need to see like the exact situation to determine whether or not it's a taxable incident, but most of the time it's not.
And your other question?
Okay. My other question was, if you are buying a home, they usually include what's called PMI insurance. If you were to, I'm trying to see how it would affect my taxes if I paid enough to cover that PMI insurance where I didn't have to pay it in my monthly installments. If it's more of an advantage to do that and take care of it up front when I buy the home, or if I should just go ahead and pay that PMI insurance and it takes a bigger chunk out of my taxes that I have to pay.
Typically, when you do the PMI insurance, I think it only increases your mortgage payment like $60 or so. So you're looking at like $100 or $200 at the most expense at the end of the year. So, you know, if you could pay it up front, then that's that. I don't know. What is it, like 20% of your loan balance?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's 20% of $300,000 per se that you get to write off in expense immediately in that 1 year versus $200 over 30. So,
okay.
You know, hopefully that'll give you some estimates, and certainly you can chime in.
Yeah, and also
Thanks so much. And
just to piggyback, you know, PMI is the deduction that you're able to take is also determined by your income. So, you kind of need to look at all of the factors involved when you make that decision.
Right, Melissa, thank you so much for your phone call. I want to ask another question as it relates to home ownership. Something occurred to me. I remember a couple of years ago, I was speaking to a friend of mine who had owned her house for 15 years or so, a modest home. And she was, of course, paying mortgage interest, which you deduct from your taxes every year. A relative passed away and she was left a really large sum of money. And the thing that she was trying to figure out was, should she pay off the house and eliminate the interest that she was going to have to pay going forward and have and own the house free and clear? Is that a good idea to do or a bad idea to do when it comes to dealing with the tax question?
There's a lot of tentacles involved there as well. Mm-hmm. I always tell people, if I got some money, I'm paying off my house.
Okay. You and your tentacles.
The reason being is that, you know, especially if, you know, I'm an entrepreneur, and so my money is cyclical. You know, I might be high this year, and next year I'm at a low. So in any case, if I can stay into my property, I'm going to try to stay into my property. Now, what does that do for your taxes? Certainly, I mean, you'll still have things like your home taxes and
property taxes
yeah. and things mm-hmm. like that you can still get the opportunity to write off any maintenance issues, you know, in certain cases. Maybe you could get the solar, you know, or some of those types of efficient remodels you could still write off. But then again, some people would say that if you need the write-off, say, for instance, you're a doctor and you kind of need that write-off, then you kind of kill it if you pay it off. So for that sake, you might want to keep the ball rolling, per se, for the next 20 years. So it just depends on the situation.
Yeah, it just depends on how heavily you rely on that deduction.
Yeah.
Like if you find that, you know, that's the only deduction I have and I have this higher income, just as if you were a doctor or someone that made a relatively high income, you might need that interest from that house, you know, so you might want to consider keeping it. You know, and just continuing to pay on the interest, and you'll still have that deduction as well as the property taxes and anything else, PMI, if that's applicable. So, you know, it just varies. You know, a lot of situations vary, which is why I encourage anyone, when you come to a situation where you're unclear, please seek a professional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Malcolm, calling from D.C. What's on your mind?
Hello, Harold. I'd like to flip the script from the emphasis on taxes and take a page from The Richest Man in Babylon and suggest that millennials pay themselves first. And I specifically recommend they pay themselves 20%, particularly if they're spiritual people and they tithe another 10%, and then put that money into a self-directed IRA and invest it in real estate tax certificates. Places like D.C. are paying 18%. Michigan, you can buy a whole block of houses in Detroit. Just wait for those tax certificates to be redeemed. If they're not redeemed, you get the 18% plus some cheap real estate.
Is Detroit a good investment?
Well,
right,
yeah, I was about to say that. I got some of those.
It's a long-term investment.
But there's a long-term investment. But you do hit a good point, I would say, to the millennials. One of the things, especially in the D.C. area, that we encounter is high rent. And for those millennials coming out, or even those professionals that are making these higher salaries, they need to buy a house. What you could do is you may have a group of friends that you went to college with and you make the most money. Why don't you buy the house and rent the rooms out to your friends? That way, you know, not necessarily your friends, because you know how that is. But but now you have a write-off and you're generating some income. And so basically you're getting people to pay you for that investment, because you may be renting a room or two out, and you get to get the tax write-off. So that's another suggestion for if you're coming out and you got the $90,000 salary and, you know, you don't pay it to an apartment. Buy something for yourself.
Buy some property. And Malcolm, you kind of actually piggybacked on what I was saying earlier in regards to paying into your 401k, because in my opinion, you are paying yourself. So why not put as much money as you can into a 401k, whatever your employer offers, or an IRA? You could potentially get a deduction or a credit on your tax return, depending on how much you're able to contribute to a traditional IRA or a Roth. You know, so you definitely want to look into saving first. So I understand, pay yourself first, and then you will end up paying Uncle Sam on the residual money, on the money that's left over, you know, because you're going to pay him anyway, you know.
He mentioned, Malcolm, thank you so much. He also mentioned about municipal bonds. Mm-hmm. Is that, depending obviously on the municipality that you are investing in, is that a good tax shelter?
Absolutely.
I don't know.
But again, he raises a very good point. You know, again, you want to find ways to save. You want to find ways to invest in your future. So if that's bonds, that's great. If that's IRAs, if that's just your traditional savings account, you know, in any way that you can put money into yourself first, mm-hmm. is the best.
And diversification is key. I think that's kind of
that?
In that you don't want all your money in real estate. You don't want all your money in municipal bonds, because to your point, if you had some municipal bonds in Detroit, you may be a little bit short about right now.
Yeah, probably.
But
so,
you want to diversify your assets, and that's why it's important to talk to a financial planner in that regard. Those things are very complicated in terms of understanding where you would best get the return on your investment. And so certainly if you are trying to invest in yourself, you need to sit down with the financial planner to sit and to make some really critical decisions on how you best, because your money could best serve you.
And it's okay to do it early. It's okay. Millennials, do it now. Why wait? There's a lot of people that are 40 and over and mad because they didn't start saving early. So don't look back and be retrospective. Look forward. Start now. While you don't have children, while you don't have these other responsibilities, do it early. You get used to it. You continue to do it, you might retire a millionaire.
Kevin, calling from Washington, D.C. What's on your mind, Kevin?
Hey, just wanted to say, great show. Education is the key. But I wanted to make a comment on an earlier caller's suggestion in terms of the trust.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe what he may have been referring to is the living trust, where Kevin, as an individual, doesn't own anything, but the trust owns everything. And as the executor or as the manager of that trust, then I actually pay myself to operate the trust. That's a program that's probably 20 years old now that they were talking about, and it's something that unfortunately the black community wasn't aware of. But I just wanted to make that comment, but education is key. I think you all have given some key information tonight.
Thank you, Kevin.
I have a question regarding that. So if you make yourself the executor of the trust and the trust pays you a salary, isn't that salary taxable under the IRS code? Because
right,
it seems like as if the caller was trying to evade taxes.
Really go back
and so,
research because
yeah.
It was a part of a larger program called the Silver Eagle, and they were talking about purchasing these silver coins. And so it's about... Mm-hmm. 20, maybe even 30 years old now, at least 20. But, yeah, and that was the key, because you would still have to research the taxability on the income you receive as the executor of the trust.
Exactly.
But I believe that may have been what that earlier caller may have been mentioning.
I think you're right.
Yeah, and it does get into a gray area, it seems to me, which is not to necessarily say that it is at worst illegal or at best unethical, but still, that's when you have to seek out the advice of a professional and not just a tax professional, because it also sounds like you may also need a tax lawyer.
An attorney.
As well. To make sure that you don't run afoul of the IRS, because the IRS has unlimited resources to come after you, whether you are doing something that may be financially untoward or just make a mistake. And so that's something you need to consider. I need to take a break. Kevin, thank you so much for your input. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about keeping more of your money in your pocket and away from Uncle Sam. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are continuing the conversation about taxes and how to keep more of your money in your pocket and away from Uncle Sam. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Salome, let's talk a little bit about the mistakes that people make regarding their taxes that can get them in trouble.
Oftentimes is that we have a mentality that we don't like to pay Uncle Sam. And I think that's, you know, in tax strategy, you have to pay. You have to look at what you want to do down the line and decide today what that is. For instance, if you own your own business and you go to an accountant or a tax preparer or a CPA and they always give you money back. And then, so that means you're operating in a negative. But a year from now, you want to buy a house. Well, according to Uncle Sam, you are negative $20,000. You will not get a house, a car, or anything. So I think that's one of the biggest mistakes is that we don't really plan accordingly. It's not just about getting a refund. I mean, you know, I grew up in a poor family, and that big check on the 15th was important. But now that I have a business, I have to consider what is my long-range goals and how can Uncle Sam make that happen.
Well, what about that refund check? I've heard a lot of discussions about making sure that you apply deductions and other kinds of financial fine tuning so that you don't, as it's been said, give Uncle Sam a loan during the course of the year. What does that mean?
You know, I just think that it's kind of all about perspective. I just had this conversation earlier. It just depends on how you spend your money. Okay. Because like I said before, Uncle Sam is going to get his money either way, either during the year or at the end. So some people like to get big refunds and they like to use them as savings accounts. That's just fine. But what that means is throughout the year, you're going to have less money to take home. So is that okay with you? Are you okay with ramen noodles? Or do you want, you know, to break even? Because I'm a huge proponent of breaking even.
And what does that mean?
Breaking even means I don't give him too much and I don't give him too little. I'm not looking for the big refund at the end of the year. And I'm also not digging a big hole for myself. So I have no deductions. I have no exemptions, but I'm claiming 10 on my W-4. That means you're not withholding anything. So at the end of the year, you're going to owe all of this money, you know, and that's not okay. So what are your real exemptions? What are your real deductions? Let's find those out. So when we're looking at millennials, most of them don't have real deductions early on. 25, you don't have real deductions. I need for your exemptions to be at 0.
Yes.
Maybe 1. And I'm being generous with that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because I want you to not owe at the end of the year. I want you to potentially break even. However, if we have those that can do 0 and they're anticipating this big refund at the end of the year, that's okay. If that's what you need and that's how you save money, that's okay too. What you have to do is know who you are and how you operate financially.
You mentioned deductions. Children, when you're, you know, first starting out, whether you are newly married and just thinking about families, or perhaps you may be a single parent, what part do children play in tax deductions?
Well, do you mean children from the perspective of the millennials just coming out?
Yeah, if you have a kid, I mean, you're.
Well, if you have a kid, that really helps a lot. I mean, you know, and I'm not a proponent of pop a kid out and
for a tax deduction.
Yeah.
No, not
but
a good idea.
But if you got one,
yeah, the deduction is not that much, right?
No. Yeah, $100,000 in one hand, $1,000 in the other.
Right, right. Certainly, you know, depending on your salary, you qualify for now credits for the child, dependent care. And even if your child is now in, like me, in college, and now I qualify for some student loan reduction because I'm the person paying it right now, or even the tuition assistance, a deduction for helping the child go to college. So certainly that. But again, as we move toward people and these independent contractors, a lot of things I cannot stress enough is just to make sure that you are correctly getting everything that you're entitled to. For instance, I know I mentioned earlier, like an Uber driver. Well, now if you're an Uber driver, you're 1099. Now you can write your car off. So again, are you keeping the payments for your car? Your cell phone now becomes game because the people are texting you through your phone and those things. So now you, whereas you were just using your phone for personal, you're using it for business. And so these are the types of things that you need to have a discussion with your tax preparer so that they can make, you know, the recommendations. I mean, really, you should just tell them everything, basically, so they can say, oh, well, did you consider this? We can only give you advice on what we know.
Mm-hmm. What about, for example, you talked about doctors and lawyers. Mm-hmm. What kind of deductions would lawyers, for example, have or doctors? I'm thinking, it's my understanding that the bar exam is expensive. Can you deduct
that? It is deductible depending on whether or not you make deductions. So if you itemize and you do a Schedule A, then yes, you can potentially deduct your uniforms, your tools, your supplies, your bar exams, your association fees, your publication dues. So anything that you have to do, again, in order to do your job. So they tell you, Harold, I need you to come in here in a suit every day. Otherwise, you're going to get fired. Mm-hmm. Guess what? You're going to write that suit off.
But now here's the line, because you make another interesting point. As a TV news anchor, we were given a clothing allowance.
Oh, yeah.
We were given a generous clothing allowance.
So let me be clear. These are called unreimbursed employee expenses.
Okay, so let's say I was getting a $7,000 clothing allowance a year. Mm-hmm. Okay, it was my understanding that was taxed at a different rate than my salary.
Right. So two situations. So say you were given a $7,000 and you spent $8,000. So you really will only get $1,000 to write off on your own for reimbursable. Sometimes they may consider that as part of salary.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore you will be subject to the taxes of that. No different from like if you get a bonus at work there, that's still subject to taxes because it's calculated as part of your salary. So you have to watch when you get those types of allowances. Is that considered salary?
But if I also wore that same suit on TV that I wear to church, does that make a difference?
You bought the suit for work. You just happen to wear it to church.
Okay, so if I am a welder, for example, and I may buy a drill or other welding tools for work, but I also use them at home, does the IRS make a distinction?
I think that for a welder, if that's your business, I've never seen a question of because I screwed the picture in my house. I mean, theoretically, you're working for yourself for free. At that point, you're still doing your job. You're just doing it for, you know, for free. So in that regard, not necessarily.
Well, let's look at it on the flip side. Let's look at your cell phone. Okay, so we have a cell phone, then we go get a job, and the job says, I need you to use your cell phone. Well, I already had this cell phone. So what I have to tell people to do is determine what your job usage is. And you don't have to make it hard, you know, out of 100%. How much do you use your phone for work? Let's make that determination, and then we could break that expense down. So it's a kind of murky place, you know, but the thing I like for people to do is be reasonable.
Okay.
Right. And I do want to clarify that, no, you can't always write off your suits. And I'm a businesswoman. I have to wear my suits every day. Let's be clear that it is uniform.
Right.
Your uniform being a anchor is suit and tie.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, if they just said business casual, you don't get to write off your wardrobe.
No, you can't write off your flip-flops on Friday.
Right. And like I said, if they say, Harold, we need you to wear a suit or you can't have this job, that means it's a requirement.
Yeah.
Okay? And if it's a requirement, then it's deductible. It's not, you know, so when we get into that gray, you know, area about business casual versus suit, you know, no, what is your uniform for work? What do they require you to wear?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what you have to, you kind of have to look at that.
Let's talk a little bit about your jobs. There are all kinds of software that allow people to do their own taxes, whether it's personal taxes, business taxes. Is the jury still out on that? And I know I'm asking people who make a living doing this, but even from my perspective, I will tell you honestly, I tried it once, and this was more than 15 years ago. Technology has changed a lot, and these things are much more user friendly. But even some 15 years ago, halfway through, I said, I can't do this, because there were too many other questions that the software, that the computer just was not asking me. Do you think that some people can indeed use some of the software, or would you just say, just junk it all together and definitely talk to a tax professional?
Well, the IRS certainly thinks so. I mean, nowadays they have contracts where you can go on their website and fill out your taxes yourself. So for a millennial, a person who doesn't have a house, all they have is straight income, you certainly can do your taxes yourself. As your tax situation become more complicated, then you need to start considering, because, again, you don't know what you don't know. And so, yes, you could do it yourself, but did you know you could take that deduction? That's not your specialty. I mean, for instance, I could go online and research what my prescription should be and tell the doctor, but at the end of the day, you know, the doctor should know, so I go to the doctor. So just like you want to get your medical health check, you should get your financial health check. And certain you need to probably, as you start progressing in your career, consider a tax professional.
Well, I think that's a good way to end this conversation. I want to thank both of you, Stephanie Baker and Salome Tinker, for coming in and giving us some really good tax advice. And hopefully, whether it's September or April, you need to be thinking about your money all the time. Thank you, ladies. I appreciate it. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Thursday, September 15th. I'm Harold Fisher. As always, we will be posting information about Salome Tinker and Stephanie Baker, where you can reach out to them if you have any additional questions. And certainly you can reach me at hfisher@whur.com, on Facebook at Harold Fisher WHUR, or Twitter at Daily Drum WHUR. Now, stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU, and SiriusXM Channel 142.